Convincing evidence. We would like to welcome you to this new radio program from the church in Toledo. Convincing evidence. The name of this program is taken from the King James Version Bible. Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The Greek word evidence rendered may also be translated conviction or proof. The word itself implies action. It is a convincing evidence. Hebrews 11 is a chapter on faith with its history. From God's creation through all the generations of God's chosen people to all the New Testament believers consummating with the New Jerusalem in eternity, to prove that faith is the unique pathway for God's seekers to receive His promise and take His way. Today, we are aiming at the Holy of Holies in our spirit and the New Jerusalem in the coming dispensation, neither of which can be seen by eyes. Nevertheless, we have the full conviction, this convincing evidence of these unseen things. Therefore, it is the evidence, the proof, of things to come. The purpose of each lesson heard on this program is to come to that convincing evidence. We would like it the assurance, confidence, confirmation, reality, essence, and the supporting ground of the divine revelations. We encourage you to listen and follow along your Bible and ask yourself, what is the convincing evidence? We hope you will enjoy this way of understanding the normal Christian's walk with us. Now, let us begin with the program by opening our hearts to the Lord as we listen. Good evening. Welcome to our program on the air tonight. We are starting a new topic in this season of broadcasting. We are happy to be with you. My name is Paul Robusciano. With me tonight in the studio on the mixing board is Brother Tony Chang. If your Bible is handy, we ask you to open up and enjoy our program. We will come to today's topic, regeneration. The first experience of the first stage is regeneration. From the point of view of knowing life, regeneration means that in addition to his original life, man obtains the life of God. But from the standpoint of experience, what, actually, is regeneration, and what are the conditions of regeneration? Regeneration is 1. That part in the experience of salvation which is a matter of life. The story of how we were saved is the story of how we experienced God's salvation. God's salvation is exceedingly full and complete. It includes forgiveness of sins, cleansing, sanctification, justification, freedom from bondage, regeneration, etc. All these are parts of God's salvation. Of all these parts, only regeneration is the part of life. The forgiveness of our sins is not a matter of life. Neither are the cleansing of our sins, our being sanctified, and our being justified matters of life. Even our being set free from bondage cannot absolutely be a matter of life, since part of this experience has to do with release from the law and another part with freedom from the bondage of sin, and these parts are not entirely of life. All these are only what God has done upon us. Only regeneration is the part of life and God's salvation. Therefore, when we experience God's salvation, only regeneration is the experience of that part which is of life. 2. The center of the experience of salvation. Since regeneration is the part which is of life in the experience of salvation, it is then the center of the experience of salvation, because the central purpose of God in saving us is that we may have His life. It is for this that He has forgiven our sins. It is for this that He has cleansed us. It is for this that He has sanctified us. It is for this that He has justified us. And it is for this that He has set us free. He has done all these for one purpose, regeneration. Regeneration, therefore, is the central part of God's salvation, and it is also the central part of our experience of God's salvation. 3. The beginning of the experience of life. The first experience of life is regeneration. Without regeneration, we have not yet begun our experience of life. When we are regenerated, we then begin to experience life. Therefore, from the standpoint of experience, regeneration is the beginning of the experience of life. 4. The entering into us of God's life. Since regeneration is the obtaining of God's life in addition to our original life, the moment we are regenerated is the very moment God's life enters into us. Regeneration, therefore, is the entering into us of God's life. 5. The birth of Christ within us. Regeneration is not only the entering into us of God's life, it is also the birth of Christ within us. As God's life enters into us in Christ and regenerates us, it is on one hand God's life entering into us, and on the other hand it can be said that Christ is born in us. The birth of Christ in us means that Christ is born once more. Every time a man is regenerated, Christ is born once more in humanity. Hence, regeneration is the birth of Christ within us. 6. The beginning of the new man. Regeneration is also the beginning of the new man within us. All our experiences of spiritual life are matters of the new man within us, and this new man begins at the time of our regeneration. Before we are regenerated, we are in Adam, a fallen sinner, the old man. Once we are regenerated, God's life in Christ enters into us. This life is a new element, and when it mingles with our spirit, it becomes the new man within us. Therefore, every one of us who has been regenerated is a double man. We are on one hand the old man in Adam, fallen. And we are on the other hand the new man in Christ, saved. This new man begins at the time of our regeneration. Hence, regeneration is the beginning of the new man. The conditions of regeneration. The experience of regeneration is especially related to four things: our nature, our heart, our spirit, and God's life. From the aspects of these four things, therefore, we will look at our condition before regeneration, during regeneration, and after regeneration. 1. The condition before regeneration. Firstly, our nature is corrupted. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it?" Although this verse speaks of man's heart, it actually refers to man's nature. Thus we see that before regeneration our original nature is deceitful and crooked, extremely corrupted, and unable to match God's nature. Secondly, the heart is hardened toward God. Ezekiel 36:26 speaks of our original heart as a stony heart. This means that before regeneration our heart toward God is always rebellious, stubborn, and as hard as stone. Thirdly, our spirit is dead toward God. Before regeneration, because of sins, Ephesians 2:1, our spirit is dead toward God and has lost its function to contact God. We cannot, therefore, have fellowship with God, nor can we understand the spiritual things of God. Fourthly, man is separated from God's life. Since the nature of a man who is not regenerated is corrupted, his heart toward God is hardened, and his spirit toward God dead, his entire person, therefore, is separated from God's life, Ephesians 4:18. This is our condition before regeneration. 2. The condition during our experience of regeneration. Firstly, we see that our nature is corrupt. Although before regeneration our nature was corrupt, yet we did not know it. It is at the time of experiencing regeneration, because of the Holy Spirit's enlightenment, that we see ourselves to be corrupt. At this time we see not only that our external deeds are corrupt, but also that our inner nature is corrupt. Secondly, our heart is contrite and repentant toward God. When we experience regeneration and the Holy Spirit enlightens us, we see ourselves as corrupt, sinning against God and man. Our heart then reproaches us and is contrite and repentant before God. Thirdly, our spirit is contrite toward God. because of the repentance of our heart, the spirit deep within us also feels extremely contrite. Our spirit at this time is like that of Psalm 51:17, a broken spirit. When we are being regenerated of the Holy Spirit, our spirit deep within feels contrite, indeed, as if it were broken. Fourthly, man contacts God's life. Since man sinned and fell and was driven out of the Garden of Eden, the cherubim with the flaming sword guarded the way of the tree of life, Genesis 3:24, so that man could no longer contact it and thereby obtain God's life. Not until the Lord Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross, thus satisfying the demand of God's glory, holiness, and righteousness, was the way which leads to God's life open. Therefore, at the time of our regeneration, because of our contrition, repentance, and faith in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can then contact in our spirit the life of God which is in Him. For the life of God is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John 5:11. 3. The condition after regeneration. Firstly, we feel that our nature is corrupt. At the time of regeneration, we see that our nature is corrupt. After regeneration, because of that initial seeing, we always feel that our own nature is corrupt. Secondly, our heart is softened toward God. Our heart, which is as hard as stone toward God before regeneration, having experienced repentance at the time of regeneration, is softened toward God and becomes a heart of flesh as at 36:26. Our heart, having been softened, desires to love God and draws near to God. It longs to contact spiritual things and gladly receives and obeys God's commands. It is not stubborn nor rebellious. Although at times it is unable to obey, yet it is still willing to obey. Thirdly, our spirit is alive toward God. The spirit that was dead before regeneration, because of its contact with God's life at regeneration, has been quickened by the resurrection power of God. The spirit, having been quickened, is able to contact God, to fellowship with God, to apprehend the spiritual things of God, and it has the strength to do God's will. Fourthly, we have God's life. Because we have contacted and received God's life during regeneration, we have the life of God within us. At the same time, we also have God's nature, since God's nature is in God's life. When we speak of the experience of regeneration, therefore, in regard to the aspects of these four things, our nature, our heart, our spirit, and God's life, the changes which have taken place before and after regeneration are all very clear. Our nature before regeneration is corrupt. At the time of regeneration, we see that it is corrupt. And after regeneration, we always feel that it is corrupt. Our heart is hard toward God before regeneration. At the time of regeneration, it becomes deeply repentant. And after regeneration, it is softened toward God. Our spirit is dead before regeneration. It is contrite at the time of regeneration. And it is alive unto God after regeneration. Before regeneration, we are separated from God's life. At the time of regeneration, we contact God's life. And after regeneration, we have God's life. If we are clear regarding these few points, we then have a thorough understanding of the experience of regeneration.
For more information, please contact us at www.thechurchintoledo.org. Thank you for listening, and please visit our web forum, local church message board, and online discussion site. Tune in again next week as we continue our Bible study and discussion of the topic on the convincing evidence. A radio ministry of the Church in Toledo. If you enjoyed the program tonight, we will like to hear from you for questions, further discussion, or simply fellowship. Our line is now open at 419-843-5042 again. 419-843-5042. We meet as believers from house to house, day by day. As Christ is our life, church is our living. Thank you and see you soon.